Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. God only knows why. Welcome to it.
I'm back from Wally World.
You are back from Wally World. Dude, you were texting me food pictures the entire time you were down in Disney.
We're the only gun range that's a member of the International Association of Amusement Parks and Family Entertainment Centers, because Gun for Hire is a family entertainment center.
Right.
So we did all backstage tours of Disney and Universal and SeaWorld and Legoland. And, of course, every one of them ended with a buffet.
Oh, yeah, geez, that's terrible.
So we have a packed studio today. We have a lot to talk about. Rosie, David Rosenthal is here. Matt Andreas from their organization, which I'm not even going to say the name of the organization because they're going to do all the intros. Then we have a lieutenant slash mom slash old friend of mine from the Essex County Sheriff's Department. Rachel Martinez is in the house.
What is on everybody's mind right now, which is trying to hide from the terrorists.
Oh, it's just widows and orphans.
It's old. It's three-year-olds. You're amazing. You're just afraid of three-year-olds.
And you're never going to guess, but you know who else is in the studio today?
Andy Pinelli, the great one.
Say hello, Pinelli. Hello!
All right.
He beat cancer twice.
Twice. Kicked its ass.
Oh, three times. I'm
three
sorry.
Times.
Yes. He had vaginal cancer once.
That's
too.
What's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Ike of Vault.
We didn't count the vaginal cancer.
So I'm going to intro these gentlemen here and their organization by first talking about the diversity shoot that we run here last Thursday with Tony Simon from Simon Says Training. He had over 45 people come out, all ages from preteens to retired people, and veterans, active duty soldiers, Muslims and Christians in the room on the range shooting and not at each other. Some drove 3 and 4 hours from Pennsylvania in the rain through rush hour traffic to get here. They had 6 people that had never shot a gun before, a full slew of volunteers, NRA instructors, and guns. They shot in the 25 and the 50-yard range, full capacity. Tyson Beckford was here, the actor, model. Keith Pantaleon was here. We had Alexander Rubian from NJ2AS, Matt Andreas and Rosie from CNJFO, Ira Levin from the New Jersey Firearms Dealer, and Christian Ragosta from the NRA ILA was here. I was in Florida. Next event is February 4th, so I want to thank all of you guys for being a part of it. You were here, Rosie?
Yes, I was.
I know,
so was
I'm
Matt.
Kidding.
That's growing by leaps and bounds.
Tony didn't put your name down as being here. So, Tony Simon. By the way, Ainsley is going to slap you for the bow tie comments, by the way.
Well, you know, look, I could have made a calculator comment, but I didn't. I was being very good.
So, these guys are becoming very active. They also displayed at the New Jersey Safe Conference. How well was that conference,
by the
way?
That was awesome.
Okay.
I mean, if anybody that missed it, they really need to take notice and try to come out for the next
year. Just buy the video, $30, njsafecon.net. Buy the friggin' video and watch us all in action. So, guys,
and then show up next year at the second annual event.
Right.
It will be one, too. So you guys, talk about your organization. Tell us about your organization. Tell us about these strong ads that you've been pasting up on social media and stuff. Hit me.
All right. Well, my name is Matthew Andres. I'm the president of CNJFO, which is the acronym that stands for the Coalition of New Jersey Firearm Owners. I just wanted to thank you for having us, giving us this opportunity to tell a little bit more about our organization. When we formed CNJFO, it was basically because we kind of felt that New Jersey was missing really three elements to the two-way community. First element being is that the public is not aware of what really is entitled to be a gun owner in New Jersey. And most of all, they really don't know that the fact that their right to self-protection outside of their home has been stripped from them. So we've got a justifiable need project that we're doing, which is a billboard campaign, where we want to put billboards up around the state, not of pictures of guns, but of pictures of mothers and children, to basically tear on the heartstrings of Susie Soccer Mom and John Q. Public, get them involved, get them interested, bring them to the table, basically take control of the conversation, change the narrative. Stop letting Moms Demand, Every Town, Coalition to Stop Gun Violence control the conversation that's out there in the media as well as social media. So if we start bringing them into the fold, legislators may ignore 500 gun nuts or 500 gun rights or people. They'll ignore 1,000, even 5,000. But once you start bringing the general public, Susie Soccer Mom, who now is contacting her constituent, who was a person that he's never heard, him or her, has never heard from before, and they are the ones that start asking the questions, hey, why am I not allowed to protect myself outside of the home with a firearm? Then you start changing the narrative. But until we start educating the public about this, we're not going to get very far with legislators.
Not only the public, too. You have to educate gun owners in this state, because you have a lot of gun owners. You visit any Sporting Clays range anywhere. Go right down to Central Jersey and Rifle and Pistol Club, and you talk to most of the members there. They have no idea.
They could give a shit.
They could really give a crap.
Yeah. They're not aware of it.
No.
No.
Oh, and if they are aware of it, they don't feel it bothers them at all.
There's an entire generation of gun owners that don't know what freedom is about.
Correct.
They really
You're
don't.
Right, Rosie. Absolutely right. Because they have grown up under an America that is not like the America that we have grown up under.
Well, I'd like to add on to that, because that's the second core principle of what we formed under, is firearm safety. It's the statistics say whether or not...
You don't need safety anymore. We get smart guns. Guns are smarter than us.
Don't get me started on that.
Smart guns are coming, and that's good, because Loretta Weinberg is making sure that she gets her pockets filled with cash by the only gun manufacturer that is allowed to produce guns, and now they're forcing retailers to sell, which is always fun.
Just one more unconstitutional enacted law after the other.
Just one more crony capitalism move by Democrats in the state of New Jersey, which has been forever, and we know how filthy it is.
Oh, it's terrible.
So it's funny, because we're going to follow up in a few segments by a mom and law enforcement, but I like your angle, and I like what you guys are doing in the state. I like that you're attending the diversity shoots and you're speaking out. And just real quick, mention the post that you just had on Facebook from the woman that brought her son here in the diversity
shoot.
Rosie,
I'm going to let you handle that one.
All right, Rosie. Thanks. Well, I spent a little bit of time just knocking it out, literally just wrote it on the pad that I have here in the studio, and the wife was on the computer. So there was a kid, 10 years old. I had never met the kid, the mom, or the mom's boss. And they ended up bringing another neighbor kid and signing all the forms. So there was a family of four that came for the first time to Gun for Hire range.
Hold that. Family of four came first time. All right?
All right. When we come back, we're going to be hearing the rest of the story. Okay. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO. Waldorf Chiropractic, conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. If you or someone you know lives within a 30-mile radius of Waldorf Chiropractic, please check Dr. Eric out. Again, WaldorfChiropractic.com. Thank you so much for your support. Rosie, finish this story, which I found very interesting.
Well, thank you for the compliment, Anthony. Actually, it was Brian Muller, Carrie Thompson, and her son, Edward. And they came to Gun for Hire for the very first time. They drove an hour and a half to get here in the rain from Morris County during rush hour. They loved the whole operation. They loved the diversity shoot. I told them to come as my guest. They got some targets. They started shooting. They brought their own guns. And they absolutely enjoyed the heck out of the whole presentation. And what we did was we took one of Carrie's pictures that she took, the mom, and we used it in a Facebook release and wrote a nice four-paragraph story for it, and it's starting to go viral, and we appreciate you letting us put it on your page, and, you know, it's just jumping around. It's really great.
Thank you very much for that. And your guys' organization is CNJFO.com, and it's also JustifiableNeed.com, correct?
That is correct.
I like that domain, JustifiableNeed.com.
That's, all right, now how can people help support your organization?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. First of all, we are federally recognized as a 501c3 corporation, which means
hear that, Ainsley?
Which means
he knows that, what that means. I have no idea what that.
What that means is that we are an education-based organization, and every dollar that you donate to us is tax deductible off your federal taxes.
Wow, very nice.
So you can give it to us, or you can give it to Uncle Sam. Your choice.
Well, if you give it to Uncle Sam, Uncle Sam will give it to Bloomberg, who will fight against what you're doing. So.
Exactly, Sandy. Yeah, that's why we're saying give it to us first, because we'll put it to a better use.
I like their angle, because I had a long conversation with Knappen yesterday, and he's like, Bloomberg money is really taking effect in a lot of places.
It sure is.
That every town for gun safety. So to have JustifiableNeed.com or CNJFO.com as an organization using the other angle of moms defending themselves and their family in justifiable need, I think, is a wonderful thing. Now, also, mention the petition that's going around.
There is a petition that was started by just an ordinary citizen by the name of Christopher Boyle, who felt that he needed to do something, and this was the perfect example of citizen activism. He created the petition on change.org, thought he was only going to get about 100, 200 signatures to it. Many organizations picked up on it and started promoting it. The petition, the last time I saw at this point, was almost approaching 16,000 signatures. He is flabbergasted by how much activity he's gotten. I've spoken with him. A couple other people have spoken with him. He's just a genuinely down-to-earth guy who wanted to do something, and that's the key point. That's one of the things that we at CNJFO really try to focus on, is citizens coming together to work together to advance our, well, basically advance education.
How did you best put that, Matt? What was that phrase you came up with?
When people get together, conversations get started. When conversations get started, ideas get created. When ideas get created, great things start to happen. And once things start to happen, people step up and they make things happen.
Exactly.
And they do it on their own because
they're looking, but they're looking for that to happen. They're looking for the momentum to begin, and then they'll join in.
Exactly.
That's just
Sam.
Human nature.
That is correct.
Nobody wants to be the first one.
So how can people find this petition? Is there a link on your website?
I believe there's on our Facebook page. There's been several links to it, but you can go to change.org. And just do a search for the key name Boyle, B-O-Y-L-E, and it'll pop up as the first as the first petition available.
So now what are you guys doing next with your organization? What events or what's coming
we
up?
Have, we
Rosie,
have...
Rosie, I see a list. Start reading this off before we run out of time.
Yes, sir, right away. We have, coming up tonight, we can bowl in Lawrenceville.
No one's going to hear it. It's tomorrow.
I know, it's
Go
tomorrow.
To the next one.
All right. Post-holiday party at Ron Seuss's. Thanks again, Ron, for Saturday, January the 16th.
Does Ron know about this yet?
Yes, he does.
He actually messaged
me and said, okay.
Kind of unusual.
What day is
normally,
this?
Normally, Ron finds out about it on the show.
Saturday, January the 16th at Ron Seuss's.
I think I'll be here for that. I'm in Vegas the next day, I think. Go ahead.
All right. I'm hosting a pheasant hunt through CFJ Info at Saturday at Guyberson's Wildlife Preserve in Pemberton on March the 5th. So if any of our hunter friends are out there and you have your hunting license, please PM me on Facebook or get a hold of us at www.cnjfo.com. We're also having a raffle for a hog hunt. It's going to be $10 a pop. We already have our raffle license filed with the state of New Jersey. And because we're 501c3, it's a nonprofit raffle. So we're looking
You're bringing in your own hogs?
We actually go to Pennsylvania. I've hunted hogs three times.
In PA?
In PA.
Wow.
No license required.
Nice.
On a 150-acre island in the middle of the Susquehanna River.
Hunting bacon.
Hunting bacon on the hoof.
Wow.
Okay.
I like this.
I did it with cap and ball revolvers. And I did it with a single shot 50 caliber Thompson Center.
Wow.
Yeah. So I like burning powder. So
our listeners should go on the CNJFO or justifiableneed.com website and get involved. You'll be here at the next diversity shoot February 4th with Tony Simon,
yes,
right?
Yes, we will.
I'm sure Ainsley has plans. He can't make it already, as well as Gary Smith, as well as Sean Brown. Loser. Anyway, go ahead.
That's
I'll get
half
a lot
my
of
Facebook
feedback
list.
From that. Sorry. Rosie put me up to say it. The notes are right here. He made me
right
read
there.
It off
I
his
see,
own notes,
I can
notes,
see them
guys.
From here, actually.
See? Yes. I just want to get that out there. Move along.
Well, he has Ainsley's name
Talk,
underlined
Matt.
Twice. For
yeah, I just kind of want to touch base on a couple different things because I know we're about to run out of time here. One of the things that we really want to preach is social interaction with each other because when you start socializing with each other, you start finding out who has the ability to do what. Now, we all want to be activists in some form. Now, not everybody can storm the gates of the of Trenton. But what you don't realize is that each and every one of us has a skill set that we're good at.
Correct.
Now, whether it's with us, whether it's with another organization, I encourage everybody who's hearing this, do something. Get involved. Contact the organization that you like. Everybody's working on something right
and
now.
And support it. Support all the organizations in New Jersey who are trying to keep your rights free.
I'm going to pull a shameless plug here and
Go
basically
ahead.
Say that we are looking for volunteers for very specific things that we need help with.
Like
as
what?
As a new organization, we really need web designers to come help with us. We need content providers. We're looking for people who can help create social functions and take charge and manage them.
A blogger would help out.
A blogger.
Social media experts. Social
media. We would be more than happy to put a link together and let someone actually write a blog and have it posted daily.
So, website, cnjfo.com, cnjfo.com, justifiableneed.com. A bunch of great guys. They also help with the Recall Sweeney effort. We're all crossing different paths and helping each other out any way we can.
You Thank got you. It, Anthony. Pleasure to be here.
And Thank you, guys. You can find us on Facebook.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience and makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers in each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. In New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We used marble and Corian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom. Oh, for the people.
No rules. No apologies. No holding back. Gun for Hire Radio. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by MontvilleOffice.com, Montville Executive Suites, Ron Sousa. Ron, thank you for letting the Second Amendment women have their year-end party there. And thank you for letting the Citizens for Safer New Jersey, JustifiableNeed.com, have their party there January 16th.
It's amazing how they asked ahead of time.
Yeah, you are the man, Ron, but thank you. Montville Executive Suites, for as little as $52 a month, if you had a side business, Ron has executive offices that you can rent monthly for as little as $52 a month, so you can meet clients there rather than meeting them at the local Green Seal Coffee Cafe. How's that better?
I like Green Seal Coffee Cafe. Yeah.
You know, you look like a loser sitting there with your laptop and having a business meeting, but for $52 a month, MontvilleOffice.com, Montville Executive Suites would be the way to go. Beautiful organization, beautiful building, location, and Ron is just a beautiful guy. So anything you can do would be helpful. Couple of things. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Yes. Have a safe and happy. I know we're supposed to call it now. Aren't we supposed to call it Indigenous Peoples Day or something?
Yeah,
bullshit. The other thing is we're doing a Toys for Tots.
Why would it be Indigenous Peoples Day?
I have no idea and I don't care.
Okay.
But we're doing a Toys for Tots. Gifts, $10 or more, unwrapped, new toys. Last year, the year before, people went on Amazon.com and shipped gifts right here for us.
Yes,
we collected five or six bins. Gun for Hire, we got an award hanging on the wall from the Marines who sponsored it. Anybody that wants to do some gifts, I'm going to go with my girlfriend. We're going to go to Toys R Us. We're going to spend a few $100. I'm going to buy shit that I would like, you know. and we're gonna put it in a box. So anybody
toy guns are fine.
Listen, we had people. I walked past the box one day, Rachel. There was a Wii system in there, brand new, in the box, shrink wrap.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's people that drop some heavy duty shit.
Absolutely.
To be honest, though, rather than spending $300 on the Wii system, you'd probably be better off buying 10 gifts for like $30 a piece. So that we could get more kids gifts out there. But it doesn't go unappreciated. Obviously, I noticed it. So these are the things I wanted to talk about. And again, those bastards in Paris, because of them, my appearance on the Kelly File got bumped. My fifth or sixth appearance now.
Yeah, it's going to be
bastards.
You got to get it in a slow time when they're not blowing shit up.
Yes. And the other thing is we got an email from W.M. Bircha, who said that, you know, he didn't like the idea that people, you know, were pressing me for freebies because they were veterans. But he is frequenting restaurants and local ranges that offered free food or services. But it's not making the final decision on him because I caught some criticism for that by one guy. So the reason we have Rachel here is she's a lieutenant in a very busy department. She's also a mom. And we wanted to talk about her perspective of what happened in France, what happened in Mali, what happened in Lebanon, what's going to be happening in Belgium and Brussels any minute now.
What's going to be happening here?
Well, it's coming. We all know it's coming.
We know it's coming.
And my old tactical guys that were with me and a few of the other guys, we always just talk about how there's going to be a Mumbai type of attack in right. this country. And I always say it's going to be, Rachel, since you grew up in an area like me, like it's going to be like a Willowbrook Mall, two guys. They're going to walk in, pull their AKs out, stand back to back, shoot a bunch of people, just like the movie, the theater in France. And then they're going to pull their vests, and it's going to cripple our economy and cripple everything. Of course, Obama, Kerry, the head of the FBI, the head of this, they all say it's not going to happen.
They have their heads up their ass.
Bratton says yes. It's not going to happen. I disagree.
You have to understand that the commissioner of the police of the NYPD has to say it's not going to happen.
Correct,
Rachel? I mean, you're superior. You would even say most of the people that if you had inside intel, you're not about to share that.
No.
You know, having worked in the government very closely, there's a lot of things that go on that you cannot share with people.
That's correct.
For fear of creating mass hysteria.
Hysteria, and you don't want to, obviously, if you have any intelligence, give that away to
yes,
the
exactly, sure.
Involved.
Because they're there and they're listening.
How's this making you feel, though?
From the mother perspective, and I hope to reach like other women who, like we talked earlier, you know, taking their kid to the mall to get a pair of sneakers, and they're not paying attention to things that are going on around them, and you know, situational awareness. You know, if somebody's doesn't seem right in that, you know, it's warm out and they have a big heavy coat on, you know, things that just stand out to you
right.
that, you know, why is that person, you know, wearing that? It's a hot day. I mean, they could be hiding something underneath the coat. That's something that they could be aware of. But just to protect yourself, and I mean, you know, I've known Anthony for a long time, and I've, you know, been to Gun for Hire plenty of times, and I've been carrying a gun for over 16 years now. And I just went to the Paramus Park Mall with my son to get sneakers, and I brought my gun with me. You know, I carry it all the time, you know, just because anything can happen. And then if something did happen in that situation, I'm armed, I can take action and possibly save people's lives. And that's why I'm also an advocate of the Second Amendment, and we should be able to carry if you choose to protect yourself, your family, and strangers, you know, just anybody at that situation. If anybody, you know, at those concerts and, you know, what happened in Paris, if any one of those individuals had a gun, they may have been able to stop that threat before.
But unfortunately, what has happened in Paris is what they want to do here, which is disarm
exactly.
citizens. So once you have that responsibility transferred over to, quote, and I'm making air quotes here, the authorities, mm-hmm. you have to sit and wait for the authorities to come to help, which how many minutes does it take for something like this to be over?
Maybe not even minutes. It could
right.
be seconds.
Seconds, right?
It could
Listen,
be seconds.
We've been talking for years on this show about Rush the Nut.
Yeah.
The witnesses' statements at the Bataclan Theater, there's 1,000 people in there. One terrorist was keeping lookout at the door for the police. The other terrorist was executing people one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was cowering and hiding. You know, all you got to do is slap your hands together and get 200 people and rush in that person's direction.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, plus he has to reload his magazines, right?
Yes.
I mean, you got to rush him and take it. But the problem is, we've been conditioned now that the government's going to be there to protect us. This thing.
Yeah.
France has made over 800 raids in 7 days. They shot 5,000 rounds in that building. 2 days later, mm-hmm. they found a third body in the rubble.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Where the mastermind right. was. So they're reaching that breaking point now. We're not ready in this country.
France
We're still full
is
of
turning
sheep.
Around. The Prime Minister of France is saying now to our president, grow a pair of balls. And how bad is this when France has to tell
yeah.
the U.S. what to do? When France, unfortunately, political correctness, like Ron Sousa has always said, political correctness is going to be the end of us. It's our Sharia law.
Yeah, it's happening all the time. I mean, especially like now, you know, with the advent of body cameras and dash cam videos and all that
right.
stuff. You know,
and you guys are always the bad guys.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, you know, it's gotten to the point where they're just trying to me, cripple law enforcement and make officers second guess what they're going to do
yes.
because they're thinking, well,
right.
what's the politically correct thing to do versus what's the, you know, safest thing to do to stop the threat. You know, sometimes you can't always be nice to everybody when the situation is, you know, when the shit's hitting the fan.
Right.
You're not going to sit there and say, well, you know, let me see what this is about. And, you know, you're going to go in.
Yeah,
and
right.
You're
How do you feel about this?
Yeah, you're going to go in and stop the threat. And that's right. it. I'm not going to care who has, you know, there was a woman. They got a woman in Paris who was among, you know, the terrorists.
This is going to happen. It's not going to just be Middle Eastern men.
Exactly.
This is going to be, you have... What we have to understand here is it is about Islam. Okay, I'm going to get a lot of hate mail for this, but it is about Islam because it wasn't a group of Presbyterians who flew those airplanes into the World Trade Center. It hasn't been a bunch of Pentecostals blowing themselves up.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for the moderate Muslim leaders around
Absolutely.
The world to come forward and
Absolutely.
Denounce the radicals.
And denounce it. And denounce it because I have.
How come it hasn't happened yet, Rachel?
Right. Yeah. I have had conversations with many of my Muslim friends, and I'm saying to them, why aren't you saying anything? And I can sort of see fear in their eyes. Well, from the ones the Muslims I have had conversations with are frightened to really say anything because you have to understand radical Islam, this is a jihad. This isn't the first time this has happened. This has happened through centuries and centuries and centuries. Yeah. And our president likes to point to the Crusades and say how bad Christians are. They tolerated 200 years of what we're going through right now by the Ottoman Empire. Yeah. Look it up. Google it. Okay? It was in absolute response to when Spain and France said, mm-hmm. enough is enough.
Yeah, and like to go back to like just being like the mother perspective and out in certain situations, you know, it's about like education. Like the guys who were on before, they said it's all about education. You need to educate your kids what to look for.
And what would you do? What would you say to the mothers of listeners here? I was going to say of the U.S., but we're all over the world at this point. So
first of all, I would tell them, like, you know, be honest and don't hide anything. Don't turn off the TV at night because the news is too scary for your kid, because that's the reality. That's
right.
The real world.
Right.
Don't shield your kid and say, oh, no, that's never going to happen here.
Right.
And, you know, there are bad people in the world and they look just like you and me. They look like anybody and everybody. There's not one particular person. I mean, the guy who shot people in Colorado at the movie theater, he was, you know, he was
another nut job. Right.
Yeah, another nut job. So it not only might it be ISIS or a terrorist, it could be a homegrown terrorist. It could be somebody that's
here amongst
us. It could
be somebody who just wants to,
exactly.
who wants to get the same notoriety
exactly.
as ISIS is getting, which is what is helping ISIS recruitment right now. And you get an unstable individual, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. And it
absolutely.
Doesn't have to be a gun.
It could be
a knife, a machete, a sword.
A bat.
Look at in the Apple store the other day.
The guy has all right.
Guys
sit
with a samurai sword.
Exactly.
Which could have been stopped with two very well placed bullets.
I have a personal question for Rachel when we come back.
Oh.
Everything I do gonna be funky from now on.
Time and memories. The two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices, no interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
And this
segment is brought to you by Philly Gun Training, PHILLYGUN.
Speaking of Puerto Ricans.
Jose, listen,
Puerto
you guys,
Ricans with guns.
You guys suck because every time the show is late going up, I get all the messages, the emails, the Instagrams, the Facebooks,
why is it you
everything.
Guys, I don't understand that.
I don't know what happened, but PhillyGunTraining.com, Jose Morales. He's in Philadelphia. Great guy, NRA training counselor, instructor. He has Lipstick Bodyguard. He has a beautiful boutique school across the street from the gun range.
Sometimes drops the ball on
certain. Yes, but PhillyGunTraining.com. So here's my personal question for Rachel.
Yes. Yeah.
She's a cop. She's a woman. She carries a gun. She's petite. Her husband's a big guy. He can't carry a gun. When the four of you go out to dinner with your kids and there's only one seat with the back against the wall, who gets it?
Me.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if you and I were married, you'd be getting the same
now,
seat.
I didn't, that's I didn't ask you right. that ahead of time, right?
No, you
no,
did not.
Okay, I wanted dinner. Before the break, I mentioned it, and she was like, uh-oh, personal question. But I'm just thinking, because I met
it's
her
true.
Husband a few times.
That's true.
And he's well over 6 foot two, right?
Yeah, he's big.
He's a big boy. So I could just imagine, because as me, as usually as the alpha male, I'm always scoping the most defensive seat. And these are the things that we're talking about when you, when you're out with your kids, when you're in a mall, you need to know where the exits are. A lot of these people in Paris survive because they play dead.
Yeah. Right. And that's not actually a bad tactic. I mean, you know, drop down and pretend you're dead and they're going to move on. And, you know, obviously. But to talk to, you were saying before, you know, things to give parents and mothers to look for and to, you know, tell their children, you know, if they don't feel a situation is safe, if something about the situation doesn't seem safe, that's your mind, your body, you know, your intuition and your instinct saying, I got to get out of here. So, you know, backpacks. Why, you know, if you're at a mall, I don't carry a backpack. Do you carry a backpack when you go to the mall? I don't carry a backpack. You know?
I mean,
so look at where you are. Look at who's around you and look at what they're carrying. And like, if it doesn't seem right, then that's a red
flag.
Rachel,
the issue is they have their heads up. They're behind most of the time. Their face is in Facebook, or they're texting, or they're doing something else.
People crossing the street, they're like, what, they're texting, and then they get run over. It's like, well, what do you?
Consumer Reports, and number one emergency room visits now is people walking into traffic. Into manhole covers,
into poles. Into
I love it. But, you know, here's what's funny now. We had Hisham Ahmed on the show. You know, I don't care what religion you are. I'm not prejudiced. I hate everybody. But an Arabic speaker in Pennsylvania was kept off a plane because he was speaking Arabic and a couple of passengers felt nervous. The Paris Muslims complain of ostracism after terror attacks. Well, I'm going to tell you what, you people, you have to start speaking up.
Exactly.
You have to prove to everybody that you're not complicit
in
this.
Okay, but here's the problem. This is what happens when you don't speak up. When you don't speak up and you don't say, look, this does not represent Islam.
Or does it? Well, you better convince me that it doesn't represent Islam.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, we need to hear from the Muslims. I don't know how the hierarchy works with the Muslims. I know with the Catholic Church, you know, you got your Pope and then you got your bishops and your cardinals and your, you know, they have that whole, it's like a military, right? So there has to be some supreme imam. Is there? I don't know.
Well, here's the issue. The statistics are saying right now that over 80% of Muslims in the Middle East think it's perfectly okay to wage jihad, to kill someone for honor killings, to kill someone who does not believe, to kill infidels. In the U.S., it's over 25%. And those are the people who are willing to say, yes, it's okay. Yeah. And then when you take a look at what happened less than 5 miles from here, less than 5 miles from our range, during 9/11, literally there were people dancing in the streets and handing out candy.
You saw what happened at the moment of silence at the Turkey
soccer
game.
They were all
saying Allah Akbar during the moment of silence. So
right,
the Muslim community,
any
Muslims listening to this, you guys should be mobilizing because this is only going to get worse. We're going to see more hate crimes.
It's going to get worse against you. The problem is what the federal government is watching, and I know you guys are watching on local levels, is something called the Bubba effect. We used to have it in public health too. The issue is, what's going to happen when Bubba has enough? When Bubba's school is blown up or the mall is blown up, now all of a sudden the average guy is going to mobilize against what he believes is now the threat.
Correct.
And that is where we have ridiculous violence.
And that's where you're going to see the woman with a headscarf in a subway getting beat up.
Getting beat up, yes, yes.
You know, which is not going to help any of us.
No, it's not going to help, and it's not. It is not who we are as Americans. Yeah. Unfortunately, we have a president who is the apologist for the world, who really doesn't understand what it is to be an American. He did not grow up in America. He grew up in Indonesia. So he all he knows about this country is what he was told by his communist parents and grandparents.
We're imperialistic.
Yeah. And yes, we're imperialistic and we're evil. Unfortunately for him, we are not that way. We are the most giving, caring people in the world.
The press is starting to turn on him. All the press, from CNN to MSNBC, they're starting
and
to
it's,
turn
it's
on
taking him.
Him
by surprise because he does have a God complex. He,
yes.
You know, but this is, we've talked about the left turning on the left. What we have to understand here is that we really need to be prepared because it's coming. There's the instability that's happening in Europe is coming here.
Oh, yeah.
For us to think that the terrorists aren't already here,
they're already here.
Of course they're
here. I mean, we've already had, several instances, one in Texas and, the Marines that were shot at. And, whether it's a homegrown person who's turned or somebody that's gotten into the country, and the big Syrian thing, bringing the refugees, that's a huge thing.
It's only widows and orphans.
Yeah, okay.
Well, look at Christie. Christie signed on with 27 other governors.
Finally.
And said, I'm not taking any. We don't know if it's legal or not, but he had the seeds to do that.
I just don't
understand. Yeah, we have no more states, right?
Yeah. Like that whole, they want to make a registry or something. I mean, we've kept track of people.
We're going to run them against what? We're going to run them against a database. So the goat herder who comes over here and said with a stolen passport, who says, oh, no, I'm fine. Of course he's not going to have any.
Wait, but us gun owners, here, Dan Ingram of NJ Concealment Furniture. Dan posted this on Facebook. Okay, I am willing to compromise on Syrian refugees. Make them all apply for a New Jersey FID card and a CCW permit through the state police. Once approved, welcome in.
Yeah, good luck with it. That's a good one.
It's true, though. But you know what, though? Our president, us law-abiding citizens, have to register our guns, but we're going to let people in with no background
checks.
But that's,
that's the whole point. Like, there have been lists and registries for tons of things.
Yes,
I mean, if you commit a crime, you get assigned a state number and you're followed. Like, that number follows you, the state police are aware of you, and sex offender registry. I mean, you're a person that if you have a reason to be put under registry.
But if you're here from the Middle East overstaying your visa because you said you were going to go to college and now you went for a day and a half or passed by and you're still here 3 years later and you're organizing in an area that is segregated from the rest because it is a no-go zone, as they do have in Brussels and Paris and Britain, no one even knows you're here.
Exactly, and that's a big problem. I mean, they want to keep donating money for all kinds of causes in other countries when our own country, we need to focus on what's going on here.
Our legislators just passed a bill that's going to Christie's desk last week to give driver's license to illegals.
Yes.
Undocumented
aliens. And give driver's licenses.
Yeah, Christie says he's going to veto it. No other country has this problem. You don't see people, illegals, workers in China or Russia.
Or Italy.
I mean, it doesn't happen. It's dumb. So Rachel, obviously you're in the Essex County area. You see a lot culturally diverse, racially diverse, and everything that's going on. And you try your best to teach your kids to be safe and secure. And, we talk about it all the time. What you talked about was situational awareness, but we all fall victim of what's called normalcy bias. So you walk into something that doesn't feel right, and you're like, nah, it must be okay, and then you continue to go into it. It kind of sucks. But now, if I'm at a restaurant and a couple of guys get out of cars and start shooting the place up, and I'm laying there, now you're going to get called with your job. What do you need me to do or not to do when I'm laying on the ground playing dead when you arrive at the scene? What would you see me? Obviously, you wouldn't want me to get up right away because you're going to be pretty keyed up rolling up on that scene, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the best thing to do would just be to lay there until the situation seems under control, or if an officer were to yell out, you know, is anyone here okay, or, you know, does anyone need medical help? Like, at that point, we would be, you know, once the threats stop, then we're going to go into a mode of assessing.
But you don't know. I could be the bad guy. I could be the bad guy pretending I'm hurt.
It's true.
You're going to bring me to the hospital.
In Mumbai.
Correct. Yeah, I want to talk more about that when we come back, because our listeners need to know that.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it up!
This is brought to you by Knappen's new book about knife laws.
Yes, I believe we have them for sale at the range now, as a matter of fact. Knife laws for all 50 states. Again, we have Rachel Martinez in here, a lieutenant, Matt Andrages, and Rosie just left for Citizens for Safer New Jersey or JustifiableNeed.com. Toys for Tots, we have the basket here. Shout out to Tony Simon for having a killer diversity shoot. That's what we really need. And, okay, so I'm laying on the ground, total anarchy, just like that. They showed a video of the French cafe, and it's funny, the AK jammed. He went to execute a couple of people in the front, and you can see his gun jamming. And then when he left, they got up and they ran into the basement. So now my first response, and our listeners here know this, and you better talk to your family and your loved ones about it, is if I'm laying on the ground playing dead and cop cars roll up, I'm going to want to jump up because I'm elated that help and protection is here.
Yeah.
But what I'm not thinking about is, how are you feeling that moment you roll up?
Yeah, I mean, everybody obviously is going to be, the adrenaline's going to be going crazy. And I would definitely say not to jump up because we're not going to know, you know, immediately in like the 2 or 3 seconds if you're a threat or if you're, you know, an innocent victim or whatever. So definitely stay down. Wait and listen for the commands of the officers. Listen to what they're saying on scene.
And it could be hard to hear.
It could be.
Because of my adrenaline pump, I could kind of be shut down,
right,
too.
Right.
So I might even be looking for hand signals or something.
There
could be glass on top of me. I could be partially deaf right now because I just had 7.62 rounds blowing out four inches from me.
Or a bomb gone.
Or a bomb, exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm laying on the ground, I'm playing dead, and I'm looking at you roll up, and four other cops roll up. Now there's friggin' bright lights in my eyes.
Yeah.
Our listeners need to know that these cops, you want to talk about a light, hairy trigger finger at the moment.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
got. She wants yep. to go home to her kids tonight.
Right,
definitely.
Right.
She's there to protect me, but she also wants to go home to her kids. So the last thing I should do is jump up and start running
and
towards
yell.
Them.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
I know that's going to be like one of the things people want to do. They want to get out of that area immediately, but I would definitely say stay, they call, you know, muster in place or, you know, know, mm-hmm. stay where you are. Listen for what the officers are saying. Listen to see if the threat has been, you know, immobilized and there's no more threat.
Because, in fact, it may not be
It may not be, yeah. It might, you know, take a few minutes to a half an hour. We don't know. It could be a hostage situation where we're going to, you know, go room by room, clearing a location. We just did an active shooter drill in Essex County, and we learned a lot of valuable things and what to do, what not to do, how we can do it better the next time, which is good. And I think that's something that, you know, you have to talk to your family about and say, you know what, if this situation happens, people, they say, well, practice a fire drill with your family. This is just like another drill.
Yeah.
You're going to have to include in your family discussion at dinner time and say, hey, you know what, if we're ever at a mall and something really bad happens, you hear like gunshots or a loud boom, like a bomb or something, you know, what are you going to do? And talk to your kids about it. Well, what's the first thing you would do? You know, and what if you're separated from your kid at the mall? A lot of people, oh, you have your cell phone, we'll meet up in an hour.
Right.
What if you're not with your kid?
And what if your cell phone doesn't work like it did on 9/11?
Yeah. So, I mean, talk to your children and educate them on, you know, well, what's, like you said, knowing where the exits are. If you hear the noise coming from a certain direction, obviously go in the opposite direction. Try to find a place, you know, that to hide, you know, like a closet or, you know, someplace that is out of the immediate eye vision of somebody who came and burst in and they're going to start shooting. You know, you want to get down as low as you can and just...
Did you see the video of the French people running from the memorial? Somebody lit fireworks or something.
Yeah, I saw that on the news.
It's perfectly example of what it looks like to sheep when you're a sheep,
when the
wolves are out.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because most people say, I heard something, but I thought it was firecrackers or something. Right. It's like, you talk about normalcy bias. It was 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, and you heard something you thought was firecrackers, yeah. right?
Right.
I tell you.
Which is exactly what gunfire sounds like on the outside.
Correct.
It doesn't sound like the what you see on television.
Correct.
Yeah, people, they like, we get a lot of calls, especially, you know, in July in the summertime when there actually are fireworks out. And, you know, we get calls that the gunshots fired.
It is Essex County. So
yeah, that's true, too. Could be gunshots fired. But, you know, the closer you are, the more you're going to realize that's not fireworks.
Right.
The further away you are, it might sound like a popping of a firework or a firecracker.
But again, you've got a trained ear for this.
Yeah.
And the average person doesn't. And I think one of the things that, you know, normalcy bias, and you brought it up before, we talk about normalcy bias here all the time, and it has to do with the fact that that conversation at the table of you trying to create a normal environment and blocking all this out is not going to help.
It's not. And people, they're afraid. A lot of people are afraid, and I'm quite sure that there's mothers and fathers and average citizens that are afraid.
Which is what bad guys count on.
Exactly. And they need to stop being afraid. They need to get rid of this political correctness, because some people might say, oh, well, you know, I can't say that because they're this race, or I can't just assume that just because they're this race or color or whatever that they're bad.
Which is also very true.
It is true. Yes. However, very true. There's nothing wrong with taking a pause and assessing the situation and saying, you know, does this make sense? Is what I'm seeing make sense? And the one time I used this as an example in a class that I taught, if you're at a playground and, you know, you see a father sitting there on the bench and you see a child come over and interacting with them, and you can tell that there's a rational reason for that person to be there. But if there's somebody that's sitting there that kind of makes you feel uncomfortable and you don't see them interacting with any children, and you maybe go up to them saying, oh, hey, you know, is your grand or grandson here, or your daughter, you know, no, I'm just, you know, hanging out.
Watching the kitties.
Exactly. And it's that kind of a thing that you need to be able to approach somebody and say, hey, what are you doing here?
I do this on a daily basis.
And like,
In Jersey, I believe there's probably more people who would than wouldn't. I mean, because we have that attitude about us where, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah. And even parents, you know, that see other kids that are doing something wrong, it's gotten to the point where a parent feels like they can't tell somebody else's kid to stop doing something, or who are you to tell my kid? And I'm a parent that if my kid was doing something stupid, you better tell them to stop. That's just the way it should be.
Correct.
So if you're out someplace and your kid says, you know, that guy over there or that girl or just doesn't seem right, or, you know, Ma, it's 80 degrees out. Why does that guy have a heavy coat on? Or, you know, he keeps pacing. It's learning body language. You know, are they sweating? Are they acting nervous? Are their eyes darting back and forth? Do they seem out of place in the situation?
Right.
You know, when people go to a mall or a baseball game, or, you know, they're happy, they're interacting. Is this person standing there alone? Are they not interacting with anybody?
Right.
So these are the things you have to kind of be in observation mode. You know, my husband jokes me all the time. He's like, "Oh, you're not at work. Why are you like
you're
staring at
work.
People?"
Yeah.
Exactly. He goes, "You're always right. staring at people." I'm like, "Because I'm always assessing the situation, and I'm always looking to see does it make sense." Those are the big things. And if it doesn't make sense, you know, I'm going to say something.
Yeah, if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense.
Exactly. Like they say, see something, say something. And people are like, well, what should we say? And you know, what am I looking for? And those are some of the things that you're looking
for. Yeah, when the hair stands up in the back of your neck.
Absolutely.
That's what you have to respond to.
Yeah, and it's okay to report something and it turns out to be nothing.
Right.
You know, better to do that than
have... Most people are afraid to do that.
Exactly. It is going to happen.
Yeah.
This is something we need to get across to people. It is a pending thing. It is going to happen. We are not going to get hit. And we're going to get hit in a very big way, and it's going to happen when you least expect it.
Yeah.
So what are you doing right now to prepare? Do you have anything, Rachel, to help? What are you guys doing? Anthony, Rachel, what are you guys doing to prepare?
I'm going to Greece.
Well, that's
nice.
Besides that. You're going right into the belly of the beast.
Yeah,
all right, let's bring it to sanity.
Yeah.
What would you suggest?
In a family perspective, what we're doing to prepare as a family is, like I said, just, you know, I had this discussion with my son the other day. It's just, you know, situational, look and see what's going on. Stay in groups, you know, like if your kids walk home or, you know, things like that, try to stay in as a group.
And as a family, are you preparing? Are you storing food of any kind, or are you doing things for when we have all been here when 9/11 happened and the shit hit the fan? No cell phones worked.
Yeah,
everything was our communications were all taken out. Mm-hmm. Chances are, when this happens, we're not going to be together as a family. We're going to be separate from our loved
ones. Yeah, you could
be
separate. I mean, the one thing I would definitely recommend is have a way. You know, have a meeting point. So if you can't communicate and something bad does happen.
Excellent.
Have a location where you're a safe location where you're going to meet up.
Where everyone is going to meet.
Everybody, regardless, whether you get in touch with each other.
Rendezvous point,
yes. Yes, right. A rendezvous point. You know,
now,
definitely.
A lot of times what they've done, you know, and again, you go back to military sort of things, even carrying chalk with you, like in a bug out bag or something like that, and making a unique mark at a particular landmark to say, I was here, I am on my way to the safe place, just so everybody knows, and you're going to be there.
Definitely. I mean, just, you know, have some sort of thing that is just unique to your family is that you can speak to somebody. You know, if it's not safe to go home,
right.
Put maybe like, you know, a red towel
out
of the window,
right.
Something to say, right. Hey, you know what, this was our safe place, but go
it's
to
no
plan
longer.
B. It's
right.
Not safe here.
Right.
So it's like, it's all about communication. It's all about talking with your kids. And
I love the fact that you brought that up, especially as a mother, is the fact that it is all about communication.
Yep. Absolutely.
And we have to communicate with our kids. It really does. I know it's going to frighten them, but we are living in an entirely different world than we were. It is not 1950 June Cleaver America anymore.
My son's 12, and like we just had this discussion yesterday, and I told him, I said, not everybody is nice. Not every person in the world is a nice person. There are bad people here, and you have to be aware of that. And I, you know, and we talked about, you know, trying to get away from a situation if you don't feel comfortable, or to go find an adult, you know, crossing guard, because he walks home from school, and staying in a group, things like that, just for preservation. They do drills now in school, you know, active shooter, lockdown drills. So the kids, they're at least a little bit more aware in that perspective. But really what their idea is to muster in place and hide.
And it, which
that's
is,
not a good tactic.
Which is great. Yeah,
running coward.
It's a very, very progressive,
running
coward, which is what we do in our homes in New Jersey. And they did in France, and it had that work out. I think one of the big things that the big takeaway from here is now be prepared. It is going to happen.
Yeah.
Speak to your family. Have family meetings. These are the things that you talk about over Thanksgiving table.
I have water and toilet paper at home.
A lot of water, toilet paper, and brass and lead.
Nice.
Is a good is
Rachel,
a good
thank you for
You're
being
welcome.
On the show. Great job.
Thank you, Robin.
For her debut.
Yes, she was nervous about being on the radio.
Yeah, too late.
Too
couple
late.
Of things. Napping will be here February 12th, 2016.
Napster.
Low Light, No Light, November 23rd. Quick Clot, November 28th. CPR AED, November 28th. Prepping 101, December 12th. Great class
to
take
absolutely now.
Shotgun Instructor, November 28th. RSO, November 29th. Chief Range Safety Officer, December 5th. Have a nice Thanksgiving / Indigenous People's Day or some politically correct bullshit like that. Thank you all for coming.
Well, you've done it again. You've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, and the License of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, Rachel, thank you so much, and Kenneth for coming in, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you so much for listening. A very happy Thanksgiving, safe Thanksgiving to all of you. Please, guys, each one, reach one. The best way you can support us is by supporting us through iTunes. Subscribe to the show on iTunes. That helps bump the ratings up even more than they are. Let somebody else know about the show. And please be prepared. Winston, we'll see you guys next week.
To go shine.